I'm just thrilled to be here. I love to fill in when the pastor asks me to, and it's wonderful. I enjoy it. And I'm a retired pastor and also a retired Air Force chaplain. And God used us many times in many ways, and I'm just excited to be here today. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 6. And let me ask you a question. How many of you worry? Okay. Well, I got news for you. You've been sinning. Ooh. But, you know, Jesus told us three times in this passage we're not to worry. Paul said, don't worry about anything but all things by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. So, one time when I was pastoring a church, it's my first full-time church, and the deacons came to visit me in the hospital. I had surgery. And they came in and they were all smiling. There were 13 of them that came that day. And they looked at me and they handed me a card and it said, get well. We voted 7-6 to give you this card. Have to think about that. Now, should I have worried about that? That was interesting times, but we have a good time as being a part of this community. I love this church. I love the people, and I love the opportunity it is to bring to you God's Word. So today, let's look at this magazine that I've got. It came from HEB, and it's called Health Managing Stress. This was up last week. Do you think that's a common topic? For today, let me just read you a few things of the chapters here. One of them is rising to the challenge, and they call stress and worry also. They say finding balance, quick ways to chill out, rewire your anxious brain. That's what we're going to talk about today. How to rewire ourselves where we don't have to worry and we can turn it over to Jesus. Amen. That's what we want to do. Here's another one. Stress at every age and every stage. That's a lot of stress. They talk about little kids are all stressed out. Here's another one that Brad preached on 2 weeks ago. The Sabbath antidote to worry. Wow. This is really current stuff. What's going on? But how can we deal with worry? We've just finished a year of COVID, haven't we? And it looks like it's trying to drag on again, and you're going, oh no, I don't want another year. Amen? It's just awful. We're so tired of that and all the stuff that goes with it. You turn on the news, and what do you hear? COVID, COVID, COVID. Here it's going on, Delta this and Delta that. So I want us today to deal with the situation that all of us are in, and we're told about worry. But Jesus tells us three times in this passage, don't worry. Now, let's talk about the word worry. The English word worry means to choke. Choke, strangle you. Now, that's the English word. The Greek word, which is just a wonderful, interesting word, it means you're pulled apart. You're distracted. You know what happens when we start worrying? We get pulled apart, don't we? We're just, and you can't deal with the situation. So what I'm going to show you today is how that you can have the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, which will guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. And that's a promise we've got there. We've got that promise. Now the word peace. My grandmother was a full-blooded Greek. My mother was too, born in Athens, Greece. And her name was Irene. Now, the Greek word Irene is peace. But the peace there is, and here's what the word means, put back together, glued together. Now, you see what I'm talking about? What the word worry is what? Pulled apart. What is peace? Put back together. Don't you want to be put back together? You're tired of being pulled apart. So let's look at the scriptures today and see what God's word says about worry. Open your Bibles there. I'm talking to myself. Okay, and it says here, starting in, I want to start in verse 24, the one in front of, no one can serve two masters. Either he'll hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Starting out in this passage, we can't serve God and money, can we? Or mammon, as King James says. We need to be devoted to whom? Say it. Come on. Who do we need to be devoted to?
God.
Thank you. Now, 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and what? All these things will be added unto you. What are all these things? It's going to be food, shelter, clothing, and how long you live. Now, let's look at verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life or what you'll eat or drink or your body or what you wear. Is not life more important than the body and more important than clothes? Wow. Don't worry about what? Food, shelter, and clothing. In the military, now I was a regular officer for 4 years and a chaplain after that, but it's interesting, they would always tell us you get three hots in a cot. What is that? What do they mean by that, guys and gals? Three hots what? Three hot meals a day and what? And some of the meals weren't hot that I had. We heated some of them on the engine. They were called MREs, meals ready to eat. We'd put them on the motor and let the motor run and heat them up. And, you know, they weren't bad if you're starving. But not bad. You get used to it. And so when we would have, where God tells us, you're guaranteed three hots in a cot. Don't worry about your food or your shelter or your clothing. Now, for us that are older, do you remember when you had jeans and you wore them to school and you tore them in the knee? And do you remember what happened when you tore them in the knee? Your mom would do what with them? Patch them. And you didn't like patches. Now, what do kids wear today? Holy knee. They have holes here, holes here, holes there. I would have been ashamed to do that. But, you know, it, style changes. But God says, don't worry about your clothing. You don't have to be in style. My kids, when they were teenagers, they wanted Jordache. And I said, you can have Pennies or Sears. You know what they did? They said, Dad, we'll work for money to buy the other kind. I said, okay, here's the mount that's different. You work it out. They worked, and they wanted the special jeans. But I wasn't going to buy them that. And so we don't have to worry then. What about food? Three hots in a cot? Shelter? Clothing? Let's go to the passage a little more where he goes on. He says, is your life more than food? Yes. Is the body more important than clothes? Yes. Look at the birds in the air. Wow, they don't sow or weep or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father, circle the word Father, that's one of the three F's you're going to find in the sermon, feeds them. The Father feeds them. Now, turn with me to Matthew 10:28. 29. Are there not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. Even the very hairs on your head are numbered. Mine are getting few. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than the many sparrows. Guess what? You're worth a whole lot more than sparrows. Isn't that great? You remember as kids, did you ever shoot birds? Don't admit it now, but we had BB guns and all that. My neighbor did. I wouldn't do that. But Jesus even knows when a sparrow falls. Are you more important than that sparrow? Say yes. How much more important? He died for you. He rose again for you. That's how much you are. important. That's what it's all about. So let's go back to the scripture and see what else Jesus is saying. This is part of the Sermon on the Mount. Following through what the pastor has us doing now, he says, who of you, in verse 27, by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Wow. Can you add one more minute to your life? No. Is worrying going to get you any, do you any good? No. Okay, I want you to respond. No, it's not going to do you any good. So why do we worry? Why do we like, now what's the word worry mean? Pull apart. Why do you like to be torn up? You like being torn up and getting up in the morning? Oh no, my life's awful and I wish I were dead. And some of you think that, don't you? I was a professional counselor too, and I know about that. People feel that way. Why do you think they've got stress management going on and all this? People feel that, but you are so much more important than an old sparrow. Yes, you are. And Jesus loves you, and he doesn't want you to worry. Three times he says, don't worry. Let's look a little more. He goes on to say, and why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, all of his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes grass in the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown in the fire, the Greek there is a clay pot that they cook bread in, will he, God, not much more clothe you? Won't he take care of you? Isn't that great? He's going to take care of you. I love it. But what do we want to do? We want to worry. And we say, I'm going to let things tear me up. I'm going to show you how in just a second, how you don't have to worry. You don't have to let these things tear you down. Let's listen what Jesus goes on to say. Yet I tell you, clothe you, O you of little faith. That's one of the key words, the F, faith word. First one is Father. The second one is faith. Now, he wants us to have faith in what? In him, not ourselves or anything else. We need to put our faith up here. And he calls him, O ye of little faith, talking to the disciples. Could you say your faith is sometimes weak? But what's Jesus saying? You don't have to do that. You can live by faith and faith alone. You can trust him. He will get you through the tough times. 1 Peter 5:7 says this, cast all your care on him, for he cares for you. And the Greek says, he continually cares. There's never been a time when Jesus didn't care about you. He knew you when your name, and when he went to the cross, he had you in mind. Jesus loves you that much. Isn't that fantastic? And he doesn't want you to have to worry. He wants you to rest in him and find that kind of peace. And his goal for you, remember what the word peace means? What? Put back together, glued. He wants you all as a whole person, and you can be. And that's what I want to show you. You say, well, get to it, Chris. Give me time. Okay. So he goes on to say, you little faith, so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For pagans, unbelievers, run after all these things. What? Food, shelter, clothing. These things. Your heavenly Father, what? He knows that you need them. He's going to take care of you. Our heavenly Father will take care of you. And he goes on to say, and I love the choice that Ronnie made of the song. They fit so beautifully with this passage. Your heavenly fathers know that you need them. But here's the key. All this has gone before. What are you supposed to do? But seek ye what? Say it louder. Louder. We got to put him first and his kingdom. Now, what's he talking about, the kingdom of God? It's the rule and reign of him in your heart. Put him first in your heart and his righteousness. What's his righteousness? You receive his righteousness when you get saved. This sermon is for saved people. If you've never been saved, I want you to trust him today. Don't go out of here without knowing Christ. It's so simple to be saved, isn't it? What do you need to do? It's ABC. Admit you're a sinner. Do you believe Jesus died and rose again? We all do. Then what do we need to do? Call on his name and ask him to come into our hearts. But he's saying this to Christians. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and he'll add that righteousness to you. Then there's righteousness we keep up with. We do right things, don't we, after we've been saved. And what he said, all these things will be added unto you. What are all these things? Food, shelter, clothing, all these other things. He said, I'm going to take care of that for you. Don't worry. I'm the Father. Have faith in me and put me first. Those three F's. He says, do that. And guess what's going to happen? He will take care of everything and give you peace. What kind of peace? That surpasses, say it, all understanding. Don't you want that? Are you tired of, oh man, I'm just burdened down with this? Why do you think they have a whole magazine on this? And it's published all the time about stress and you're stressed down. Look at verse 34. We're in the end of the chapter. He says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about it. Why? For tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Hey, you got enough going on. Don't try to add to it. My grandmother-in-law, she was quite a lady, and she had had, extensive surgeries, just lots and lots and lots of surgeries. But we would go see her every Monday, and we'd go over there to see her, and at 1 o'clock she had to stop on Monday, and she had to turn the TV on. It was General Hospital. And she said, I've got to see how Dr. Hardy's doing. I've never forgotten that name. Any of y'all remember that name? Yeah. Not, yes, you do, yeah. So Dr. Hardy, she wanted to see what was, and she was worried about him. I hope something doesn't happen to him. I'm going, lady, you've had major surgeries, and you are fortunate God's kept you alive, and you're worried about Dr. Hardy? Let's get our priorities squared around. And what does worry do? Pulls us apart. But what are we going to let the peace of God do? Put us back together. Let's go to Philippians 4. You'll want to mark these verses if you don't have them in your Bible. Paul starts out, it's the same word for worry, be anxious for nothing. Or don't worry about anything. And with the negative word there, it literally means they have a little particle there. And another way you can translate it, I've taught Greek, is stop worrying about everything. Stop it. You want to have joy in your life? I guarantee you this is the way to do it because it's God's prescription. So he starts out, I'm giving you kind of a standard way of seeing these first three, four verses we're going to go through. The first thing, what's the problem? Worry. What's the problem? It's got to be solved. The second thing we have there is not only worry, we have a prescription, which is going to be prayer. The third thing we have is a program. And the final thing are promises. So the problem, Paul says, stop worrying about everything, but all things now, what's this? Well, all things by prayer. And King James says, supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Let me go through each one of those. Prayer. The first word for prayer is the word in Greek means prayer in general. Bless your food, anything, but just a generalized prayer. The second one, now the NIV puts it this way. He says they call it prayer, then petitions. Or King James says supplications. I call it special requests. Any of you ever been really sick and you found out you might be dying? Yeah, you know what? And what do you do when you find out I'm getting ready to check out? Come on. What do? You pray. I've had cancer. Do you know what I did when they said you got cancer? Come on, say it. That's right. I prayed. Nothing wrong with that, and I prayed hard. Special request. You have a loved one in your family that's terminally ill. What do? You pray. You go to God in prayer, and you mean business about it. The first one is prayer in general. The second one is special request that you're really serious about it. Both of them are serious, but one is you're really digging into the prayer. And it says, with thanksgiving, we need to be thankful for all this when we pray. Let your request. Now, the word request, any of y'all pray with a prayer sheet? We get it sent out, don't we, every week? And you ought to pray for these things on there. Now, I'm going to give you a shame on me and shame on some of us. Who do you pray for the whole list? Everybody's being quiet. What do? You pray for the new ones that Susan Tucker puts on immediately. You look at the dark ones, don't you, on there immediately? Come on, be honest. That's what I do. I look at that and I say, who needs prayer right away? That's what I would call, that's a request list that is there, and we have a list. Well, why don't you just work through one day, you take a little section of it, next day take another section of it, the next day take another section of it. But pray for these people on there. They're not there just to fill up the page, that people have concerns. So what do we need to do? Pray for them. And what's prayer? Listen to this. It's as simple as ask. And the pastor preached about it the other day. Can you spell ask, kids? How do you spell ask? A-S-K, right? Ask and you shall receive. That's the first letter of ask. What's the second letter of ask? S. Seek and ye shall find. What's the third letter of ask? Don't say N now. It's K, right? Knock and it shall be open unto you. That is just that easy to memorize that verse. That's what we need to be doing about that prayer sheet and the people on our list. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Are you asking? Are you seeking? Are you? Are you knocking, seeking, asking, going back and forth? Are you doing it? Let's start doing it. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Say it with me. Ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. That's not hard. Let's start doing it. So here's Paul saying, don't worry about anything, but everything by prayer in general, petition, special request, with thanksgiving. All these three things, the three kinds of prayer, are covered. They're connected by and, but when you come to thanksgiving, it's got a with there in the Greek and in English. And all these need to be covered by thanksgiving. Do you think God will answer your prayers? Say yes, I hope real loud. Yes. Okay, then when do you need to start praying? Today, now, pray for me. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. You're going to do that with what? Thanksgiving. The Greek word for thanksgiving is eucharisteo, Eucharist, what the Lord's Supper is used for too, one of the words. But it means to be thankful. Are you thankful? What do we do at the Lord's table when we have it here? We're thankful for what? Him coming, his death, burial, and resurrection. He's coming again. We need to be thankful in our prayers. Now, I want you to turn to somebody near you and tell them what you're thankful for. One thing. Just turn. Find somebody. Mary Lou, find somebody. My wife's down here all by herself. Tell them one thing you're thankful for. Did you tell somebody what you're thankful for? Okay. But are you thankful? Say amen. You are. So what are we supposed to do with those prayers? Do them with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And he goes on to say, what's going to happen? And the peace of God, which surpasses or transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. What does the word peace mean? Come on. Put back together. What's the word worry mean? Pulled apart. You want God to put you back together? Say amen. Amen. And what do you want that peace? What do we have to do? Ask and you shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it will be open unto you. God and Paul said that as clear as can be. Don't worry about anything, but all things by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And what's going to happen? The peace of God. Going to put you back together, which surpasses all understanding. Sometimes you can go through real trials. You ever notice that? It's just tough at times. In 1968 was my tough year, one of them. And in that year, I was a lieutenant in the Air Force. I had my mother died, my wife's mother died in 6 months apart. In between there, we had our first baby born. I was going to OU in graduate school here in 12 semester hours. I was youth director for John Bassanio at the largest Baptist church in Oklahoma, and I started a mission church, all that in that 1 year. Now, you think I was stressed? But how do you get past all that? We baptized 92 at that little mission church, a dinky little mission church. You know what it was called? This is funny. Tinkertown Baptist Mission. That's what it was called, Tinkertown. Guess what it was by? Tinker Air Force Base. And today that church, that little mission church that we started, is a full-fledged Native American Indian church. And they run about 350, I was told. Now, guess what? Even when you're stressed, what you can look back and I can say, praise God, he got me through. But he had to put me together to get all through all that. And I even made straight A's, which was really interesting too. But it was just, what did God do? God enables you. What do you have to do? Commit it to him in prayer. Seek ye what? First the kingdom of God and what? All these things will be added unto you. Let's go on and finish up the little thing here. He wants us to think right. First, we had the problem was worry, prescription to pray, and here's the program. Finally, brothers, whatever things are true, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. The world is so fixed up with untruth, isn't it? And they tell us, and I worked in a psych ward and was trained in a year the Air Force sent me to school, that one of the things we learned, though, that people are confused about what's truth and what isn't. And you listen to what, any of you watch news? Or you go to one channel, you hear one thing, you go to another, you hear, what's truth? I'm telling you, Jesus is truth. Thy word is truth, the word scripture says. It says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble or honorable, whatever is right or just, whatever is pure. Now, can we get into impure things on the internet and TV? What do you need to do if something pops up there that's immoral, unpure? What do you need? Turn it off, get away. Maybe you ought to get rid of your computer if you're tempted by watching some of that stuff on there. Gone to preaching, gone to meddling, hadn't I? Listen, whatsoever things are true and honest and just and lovely, if there be any virtue, any praise, think on these. The word lovely is a very interesting word in the Greek. It's only used once in this word like that. But we know what love is defined over in 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient, love is kind, love is gentle, love is not puffed up. That defines what lovely is. And it's lovely inside you. And he goes on to say, whatever is lovely. And then he says, and admirable, oh, this is a wonderful word there. And admirable really means it's where you write sayings, when you say things right, or right speaking. And you want to admire the things that are right. I don't like the NIV's translation of it. But you, in order to admire what is said, it's got to be right, doesn't it? And true and honest and just. And so Paul says, think on what's admirable, what's right thinking there. And he goes on, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, and here's the command, think about such things. You want to quit worrying? Start thinking about things that are right. You got to, like the book says here, Reprogram your mind. We do it with our souls, don't we? We start thinking of things that are true and honest and just and lovely. If there be any virtue, there be any praise. Keep on thinking on these, Paul says. How are we going to get our minds reprogrammed? In the Word every day, in prayer every day. Don't let a day go by that you're not in the Word. Every day you need to be in God's Word, talking to Him. Let Him talk to you. Are you tired of worrying? Say amen. Amen. All right, what are we going to do about it? There's two things I'm asking you to do. I have a list of 15 you can do, but that's just two. All right, what's the first thing? Is pray. We want to be going to God in prayer. And what's the second thing? Be in His Word. And what tops that all is what Jesus says, but seek ye what? First the kingdom of God. And what's going to happen? All these worries will just fade away because we love Him. We love Him. Don't you love Jesus? Don't you want to talk to Him every day? Now, when you got married, those of you who are married, what if the preacher said, I now pronounce you husband and wife, and one went that way and one that way and never met again? What kind of marriage is that? It's stupid and dumb, isn't it? Do we treat God like that sometimes? We ask Him into our heart, we get saved, and we don't talk to Him every day. We don't get in His Word and let Him speak to us every day. Let's get back. You're the bride of Christ. Let's get back in the Word, in prayer, and seek Him what? First. Seek ye first. Now, the Greek word for first is proto, like a prototype. First means definitely number one. Who's number one in your house? TV? God's Word? Prayer? What is it? Let's turn off stuff and get into God's Word. With this, we're finished. Here's the promise. He says this, if what you have learned and received and heard from me, Paul's talking to Philippians, or seen in me, put into practice. I want you to practice these things, turning everything over to God in prayer. Cast all your cares on Him, for He cares for you. There's never been a time when He didn't care for you. Cast all your, put it into practice, and notice what it says, the God of peace will be with you. Now, God of peace will never leave you once you get saved, right? What's He talking about? God will be so real to you. Is God so real to you? He is to me. You know what I did? I got up early this morning, like I do every day, and go to God in prayer. It's that important for me to get up and talk to Him. I hope you'll find that in your life. I'm just going to get up a little early or at night before I go to bed. I'm going to just spend some time with Him in prayer. That's what He wants you to do. Spend time with Him. How do you know you love Him? How's He know you love Him? Just tell Him. Lord, I love You. I love You with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my mind. That's what He wants you to do. Just seek Him first. Those three words, back to where we started, all begin with F. First, who is it the Father we go to? By faith, putting Him first. Three F's, right? Make Him first in your life. Would you bow your heads with me? With your eyes closed and no one looking around, this is between you and God. If Jesus came back just today, would He be happy with you in your prayer life? You answer that to Him. And if you're not happy with that and He's not happy with it, why don't you say, Lord, I'm going to start talking to You and praying with You daily. I'm going to spend time with You. I'm not going to worry. I'm going to let You put me back together. Worry's had too long a hold on me. Lord Jesus, take control of this situation. I promise You, Lord, I'm going to start talking to You more. I'm going to get into Your Word every day where You can just speak back to me clearly. Tell Him that right now. Lord Jesus, I love you. I'm thankful that you died for me. I'm thankful that you told me not to worry and that you can take care of the worry problem. Right now, God, I put you first in my life. I seek you first. You, your kingdom in my heart, that I put you on the throne. Take control of my life, Father. Make me the kind of person you want me to be, Father. Take all my worries. I cast them at Jesus' feet. You tell me to cast all our cares on you and all of our worries. I give you my worries right now. I lay them at your son's feet. I know he'll take care of them. And I thank you for taking care of them. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer. No one looking around, but if you prayed today to give God your worries, you say, Pastor Chris, pray for me. Would you slip up your hand and let me pray for you? Across the whole congregation. Thank you. Thank you. You're turning it. Amen. You're turning it over to God. You can put your hands down. Go ahead. Anybody else? Say, Pastor Chris, pray for me. Thank you. Any in the balcony? Father, we thank you for people's hearts that have been touched. We thank you that they are tired of worrying and carrying all the burdens on their back. And now, Lord, as they've turned them over to you, we've made you first in our lives. Lord, we commit ourselves to you this week, this day, this hour. It's for we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.